Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's canine educator. This is a pre-recorded podcast that we're doing today. So I already put this video out on YouTube form, and you can find the video if you want. But I believe that the audio is really, really great information and good content. So I wanted to share it with you guys. This is a video of me working with one of my online clients, and you can do so via my website if anybody's interested to do that. You book a Skype session with me and we talk about what's going on. And actually a lot of times we get a lot of stuff done because the actual problem with the dogs are usually just lack of knowledge of how to move forward and what to use and what not to use. So this is a pre-recorded video that we put up on my YouTube channel. And on the YouTube channel, it's called Dog Training Advice Every Dog Owner Should Hear. And it's really, really great content. I was really happy to put it together. And it's not to attack anybody and it's not to point fingers. It's just my opinion on the dog training world and how people make it just too crazy and too complicated. It's not. And so I hope you guys like this. If you do, leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you guys listen to. Thank you so much for your undivided attention. It means the world to me. We're growing really, really fast on multiple different levels, and that's because of you guys. So if you guys keep listening and commenting and tell me what you like and what you don't like, I'm going to keep cranking out the content, both video and audio form. So thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate it. I hope you guys like this. Bye. Bye. I mean, bye. I mean, I'm not like hanging up, but here we go.
Your use of potentially aversive tools, or you use tools in general, people assume that you're just using them all day long. You put this on a dog and you literally are just correcting the dog all day. You're just putting it on and you're just sitting there like this the whole time. You're just correcting that dog and that's all you do. And it's bizarre to me how that concept makes sense. And with parenting, with children and child psychology, it's really important to understand that when you're doing these types of things, like when you have to punish your child, take away their iPhone, ground them, you're doing it to help them. So when I put a correction tool on a dog, it's only to help them and teach them. And I only use it once or twice a day for a microsecond to teach a behavior. And then 99% of the other time, I'm rewarding the crap and loving the dog and giving the dog food and praise and everything's great. But if you don't have that blend and that mixture of, like, I'm afraid of getting that consequence, again, the same thing I told you guys, that if I get caught speeding 6 times and the cop just kept giving me a warning, I'm never going to learn. And every single day of our lives, we wake up with some sort of consequence. Not getting up for work, consequence. Not being to work on time, consequence. You know, maybe not drinking coffee for some people. There's going to be a consequence for that down the road. But the important part is when you're selecting tools, this would be option one. And again, some dogs are super sensitive to the slip collar and they're like, okay, I'm sorry. So if your dog jumps up and you just simply say off, pop the dog down, the dog's like, hey, I didn't like that. And you're like, hey, I don't want you to jump on a counter because I don't want you to eat the bottle of Tylenol that's going to kill you. Or I don't want you to eat the chicken wing that's going to kill you. So again, the ideology of people saying you should never punish or correct your dog is like, yeah, but your dog could die because you don't instill any reinforcement behind what you want. And so you're only doing it to help them. And it's a microsecond. Quick story, my niece is a toddler. She had double ear infection. She couldn't sleep. She was absolutely miserable, as you can imagine. And my brother, who's obviously first time human owner, I was going to say dog owner, a parent, I should say, you know, he was like really taken back by like, she's going to freak out. Like, she hates it. And my mom's been a nurse for 40 years. She goes, it's 0.5 seconds to get rid of a double ear infection. 0.5 seconds of uncomfortability. You're actually enabling and doing more harm by not just stepping up to the plate and saying, I don't care, you're doing this, right? Your dog jumps up. They try to get a bottle of pills. Off, pop. Off, pop, right? Same thing with you guys in the leash. Your dog's pulling on a leash or barking at another dog. There's so many negative things that can happen if you don't fix that. One of the common things that happens is you guys don't want to walk your dog anymore. So now your dog actually builds up more problems because you can't take him out. Your relationship starts to suffer because you can't do anything with your dog. One of the other common issues is your dog becomes a nuisance to everybody around you. So it causes social conflict as well. Oh, here comes them with that dog. And then people just like move out of the way. Totally. It happens all the time. And so then it becomes, and you guys feel like, oh man, you know, we're becoming those people. And so there's so many different things that are more negative than actually just trying to avoid conflict with your dog. And it's actually so inhumane to not do the natural gift that when the dog was like 3 days old, like a slimy little hamster and couldn't open up their eyes, mom was correcting them from day one, picking them up, putting them back in the whelping box, correcting them if they went outside, all these different things. And then we take them and we completely unwind them of their natural ability to learn by just ignoring bad behavior. So slip collar step one, that's the preliminary thing. The other thing I like to use is a plastic pinch collar. This is a collar that's kind of a, I call a hybrid. So it's a hybrid between a prong collar and a slip collar. I like to use these on dogs with not a lot of fur because it's better on their skin. So you get like a pit bull, a boxer, any dog that has really like not a lot of fur or any fur, like coarse hair, one coat. I like using these because it doesn't irritate them as much. So making sure that the collar is high and tight, and these are shaped like little teeth. They're not sharp. When it is on the dog, on the contrary of what everyone else thinks in a one-dimensional style of training aspect, they think that we put it on the dog and we're like this the whole time.
Right.
Of course, that's uncomfortable and that's crazy. We would never do that. We're only correcting the dog for a microsecond a couple times within a training session to teach them new behaviors, and also, more importantly, to teach them that the unwanted behaviors are not good, and we need to be able to kind of ration them out through a correction. So again, same thing. Your dog jumps on the counter, off, pop, okay? The dog goes, oh, I don't like that. And you say, well, I don't really feel like you dying from eating something off the counter, and I want to discourage that behavior as much as I possibly can, influencing some sort of punishment with this. So when we talk about punishment, I think one of the big key things that people don't realize and scares them is the way that these things look. And they are actually designed to be more humane than people think. It's just the lack of education makes people skeptical about them. And so this is also a nice tool to use so you don't get those dirty looks. Not that it matters, but it is a nice correction as well. The collar actually, well, we're going to get to that in a little bit, but this is a good collar to use for multiple different reasons. So this is like an intermediate, okay, my dog's really not responding to the slip. They understand the correction, but they're ignoring it. You can start with this.
Now, that one you just had, the hybrid, you said it sits high up, like...
I'm gonna show you with the prong. But yes, all of the collars, here's the infamous prong collar. Oh my gosh, dun, dun, dun. So this collar... which I have a belt on, or a clip, which is really, really nice. Hermspringer makes. Again, if I go out and buy a really piece of crap, one of these, and use it wrong, it sucks. It's harmful. It could be dangerous. It's the same thing as if I took the van that I'm sitting in right now and drove it straight into oncoming traffic. You're not going to say, oh my gosh, we got to stop selling those vans. Take them off the market. They're causing all these bad things. It's like, what's up with that guy, right? So the prong collar, you have to make sure you get the right one. You have to make sure you get the correct one. These are certainly not sharp. They do not hurt the dog. On the contrary of what one-dimensional dog trainers will do, they'll say, how could you be so inhumane and put this prong collar on your dog? And they think that we're literally sitting there all day doing this.
Right.
And even then, it doesn't hurt. These are not sharp. These are very well manufactured, round-edged prong collars. So the edge of them are round. So walking forward, people think that they're spikes and they're sharp. And I've even heard razor blades. I'm like, do you really think that I would be in business professionally for 10 years if I was out doing that to dogs? Like, are you kidding me? So what this does, and this is going to blow your mind, this is one of the most humane dog training tools you can use. Now, one-dimensional dog trainers right now are sitting on the keyboard like this, like going crazy. But it's interesting because we have flat collars, harnesses, and all these other things. Couple things happen is you can ruin a dog's larynx, you can ruin a dog's trachea if you have the wrong equipment on a dog, like a flat collar or a harness. What this does is it evenly distributes pressure on the dog. So you have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 prongs on each side of the dog's neck. What you do is you put the prong collar high and tight around the pressure points of the dog and the muscle right behind the head. And as soon as, so you say heel and you turn and the dog doesn't heel, you're not gonna slam them beyond belief and do your hardest correction. You're gonna give them a quick pop on the leash and you're gonna say heel. And the dog says, nope. You go pop. Then it goes, whoa. Same thing when the dog jumps. And so you're teaching the dog through correction what they can and can't do. But the most important thing to understand in this concept, as I've said before, is you can't punish a dog if they don't know what they've done wrong. So I would encourage you guys to use the minimal amount of correction on a dog to teach the behaviors that you want before you maximize your punishment in the future.
I see a dog, come on, you know, heel, turn around, you turn around, correction. What is sort of the progress he should be making and we should be looking for? And, you know, okay, so now he's a little bit better. Like, what's sort of the end game, I guess?
Yeah, the end game is very simple when you're using any type of tool or when you're trying to sculpt behaviors. The end game is for the dog. Excuse me. The end game would be for the dog to start realizing. So that's a great question. Love these questions. So the end game would be what you're trying to do because of the reactivity of your dog is fear-based, which means that the dog sees another dog, they go into alert mode or they go into some sort of habitual, I don't know what to do with myself, is to actually be more curious than reactive. So when your dog sees another dog and they start learning that if they react like an idiot, they get corrected. But the reaction is actually putting them into hysteria and is enabling them and not allowing them to progress to see what is the other good dog actually going to do. Is it actually going to kill me or do I just think it's going to kill me? Right. So the end goal is for your dog to actually see another dog and be a little bit more curious and inquisitive instead of, well, there's another dog. This is what I do. I'm afraid. So that would be the end goal, is for you guys to go out, correct the dog when he's a jerk. And then eventually he'll learn that that behavior causes some sort of conflict or correction to him. So then when he doesn't do it and the dog gets closer and closer, he's like, I'm not dead yet. This isn't so bad. So the end goal when you're using any type of tool is certainly to get the dog ultimately over the behavior that we want. And it's not, on the contrary of what many people think, is to just go out and slam your dog every time that they want to do something. It's
right.
It's only to try to just grind out that bad stuff. And then on the opposite side, what you guys have already been doing, condition. Yay, good boy, feed, 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 pay, 100%.
So right now, as he's like, when he's a dog, he's like here, he's like, okay, I'm curious. And then he kind of like escalates a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, as the dog gets closer, so the end goal is like, so as he goes up, over time with correcting him, that he, instead of going up, way up, he says, I'm up, I'm curious, and I'm just going to kind of stay here.
Right. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the end goal?
Yeah, that's
like the... remaining curious without freaking out?
Right. Balance. Balance. That's important. It's a good, it's a really important thing because you can't ask a dog to stop being a dog. Like, he sees another dog, he's on a leash, you don't know what type of stuff he's been through before. A lot of times that's what happens anyway, and you can't just tell the dog to not be a dog and say just ignore it. No, don't. Right. All we're asking for is to not be a jerk at the end of the leash. Pass a dog, breathe heavy, maybe grumble a little bit. I'm okay with all of that. I want the dog to be as primal as possible and to release these natural abilities to just be a dog. But there's consequences. You know, like I said, you pull up to Six Flags and the kids are excited, but they're not running across the parking lot ignoring you, dodging cars. Like, they're excited, so your dog's stimulated and goes, oh, there's a new dog. This is exciting. This is intriguing to me. Like, you're not gonna see that the dog has rose curiosity and correct the dog. That's important, because my clients see it all the time. I'll explain all of this, and then I get a dog out, the dog looks at a dog, boom, they get corrected. I'm like, whoa.
Right.
Only correct the behavior that's absolutely something that you guys don't want to see anymore.
Don't jump the gun on the correction.
Don't jump the gun. You need a good state of mind. You need to breathe really nicely. You need to understand that this is a process. And you also need, in the preliminary stages, to be working with dogs who are passive. Not, you don't want to go out like... The final test would be you guys go out to another dog that's kind of stimulated on the leash as well. But
right.
Don't go out and do that right now and then say, well, that didn't work. It's like, yeah, but...
Not day one material.
So, again, I think that there's just a huge misconception of how to train a dog, and it's super confusing. I talk to people all over the world every day about, oh, well, your way kind of seems a little bit more, it makes a little bit more sense. It's blended in together and all these different things. And it really brings curiosity of people. Cause once they've been kind of, I call brainwashed, where they're like, oh, I love my dog. I should never stab them with these spiky things. It's like, wow. You know, and it's interesting because if people actually spent an hour in my daycare with the 30 dogs we have, my corrections are nothing. Like, they play harder than I correct a dog for bad behavior. They bite each other. They roll each other over. They pin each other. They snarl. They grab each other's face and pull them on the ground and make them bleed out of, like, that's how we play. Dogs, dogs 90% of the time, will communicate with other dogs through their mouth.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And guess what this looks like? A mouth.
Right.
So people are like, how to stop your dog from being aggressive, force-free, humane. Every dog owner in their right mind is going to go, boop, let's watch that. But the reality is the percentile of dogs that actually learned under those circumstances is so incredibly small that it's mind-boggling that, like you said, like, it's so confusing that you get these high-viewed stations that the reason why it's high-viewed is because it's an ideology. You're feeding in to unrealistic things against dogs' natural behavior.
Right.
That's why you're getting like that. That's what probably comes up the first three videos is how to do it without any pressure or any type of negativity. And because that's what we want. And that's what I want. Are you kidding me? If that stuff actually worked, I would be doing it every day. If I could literally get a dog to look at me with a piece of food and ignore the other dog when they actually had inheritedly, like, behavioral, neurologically challenged true aggression and they've killed other dogs, and I'm like, sweet pie, here's the chicken, ignore the dog. If that actually worked, I can't tell you how many dog trainers and how many facilities would be put out of business, because you'd go home and get a piece of chicken and your problems would be solved. It's so much, it's insanity. But that's the reason why those videos are so highly searched, and that's the first thing that you see, is because that's what people want to believe, period.
The answer to all your problems lies in a piece of hot dog.
Exactly.
And just leave, like, go the other way?
Yeah, it's that's going to be dictated off of the other dog's behavior. So if you're walking towards a passive...
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, if you're walking towards a passive dog, and you feel like, oh, this is a good test, this is a good opportunity, let's move forward, then do it. But if you're approaching a dog that is, like, completely out of control and completely out of hand, it's not a good opportunity for anybody. So that's when you would go the other way. You're going to correct the behavior you don't want. You decide, not me. I don't, my reaction versus your reaction are two different things. So when your dog sees another dog and starts to build, that's where you can pop, say, leave it, or you can heal and go the other way to disengage the dog off of the behavior.
And then when you correct, he's supposed to sit.
No. No, good question. Too many dogs. So I actually did a podcast with a veterinarian, and she studies all sorts of clinical behavioral studies as well. When you put a dog into a sit, it's actually very unnatural for them. Very rarely do you see a dog just sit. They usually lay down, or they lay on their side, or they're running. And so when you put a dog into a sit, especially in a situation that can make them vulnerable, it creates more issues than not. So very good question. When your dog's out in a leash and is reacting, you should just try to stop the behavior through corrections. The dog barks, leave it, pop. The dog barks again, leave it, pop. And then the dog's like, hey, I don't like that. And you're like, don't bark. And then as soon as the dog doesn't bark, you reward them. But in, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. I'm not correcting a puppy that's trying to play with another dog.
Yeah.
I'm correcting behavior that's going to get the dog killed. I'm correcting right. The dog that's I'm making sure that this stuff is completely unnecessary.
Gotcha.
So as long as they stop the undesired behavior,
we keep moving.
Doesn't matter. You just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep,
yeah.
Keep moving. Keep move. Going. Keep
yep.
whatever.
You move.
It doesn't have to be this like. Sit and look at me and like all this stuff.
No, that's a great question. That is so challenging that a lot of trainers will try to do, because if you get a dog that's reactive and insecure, it's hard enough for them to walk past a strange dog and not react versus sit down, put them in a vulnerable state, and then completely take their eyes off the dog. No way on planet Earth is that going to work for a basic dog that's just learning obedience. If you get a super, super highly trained obedient dog, you can do all of those different things with. But when you're just starting the foundation out, there's no way it's likely that the dog's going to stop by you putting the dog into a sit, which puts them in an ultimately immediate vulnerable position, because they're going, oh God, there's a dog, and you go sit, and now their hands are tied, and they're like, ah, right, because they can't move.
Got it.
And then you go, hey, look at me, and you're like, you want me to, so to do that, actually, if you understand the natural behavior of a dog, and this is my opinion, I mean, I've studied canines for the last 10 years every day, and my opinion, that makes them more vulnerable than not. Sometimes if you get a high reward food like steak or chicken and you get a dog to focus on you as the other dog walks by, that'll work, but it won't work with your case. It won't work with a dog that like inheritedly naturally feels threatened by the other dog. It's not gonna work. Like, and that's the thing you also have to understand is there's no binary way to work with any dogs. It's very, very, very variable environment related, because they're animals. And so for anybody on any circumstances working professionally with dogs to say this is the only way to do it in this lane under these circumstances is so irresponsible, it's not even comprehensible to me. It's so inhumane for anybody to say this is the only way to do anything. And if you're outside of that realm, then what? You know, so anyway, yeah, don't try to overwhelm yourself with all that junk.
Yeah, because it's actually interesting you say that, because, you know, if you put up, you know, in Google, you know, my dog is least aggressive or least reactive, 9 out of 10 responses, you know, from internet trainers or whatever you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, care and conditioning. Make them sit, give them a treat,
yeah.
Yes, give them a treat.
So,
engagement, and like, you know,
yes.
You watch your videos and your dog Lakota, you have, like, you know, A plus engagement, but it's not quite the same thing as what I'm trying to get
right.
to do.
Yes,
know, like,
so that's it. It's such a valuable thing that you brought up. The reason why, okay, so SEO really quick. The reason why those videos that you see is because that's what people want to see. When you type in like how to stop my dog from being aggressive, and people are like how to stop your dog from being aggressive, it's a constant battle that we have to deal with as balanced dog trainers. But it's so important to understand that there are people out there that actually bring balance to the dog training community that are very mindful about their approach and care more about the dog than what other people think. And if we dig into that a little bit more and we're like, you know what? There are probably some people out there that can apply some corrections to certain dogs that need it and be completely humane and great. But one-dimensional type of dog training, that doesn't compute. It's a 401 error.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna Quality, for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.